received. The record may show that this is a time and a place that the court has set in relation to a special rules hearing. That notice of the rules hearing has been given for 11 o'clock, and it's now 11:05. We will proceed with the consideration of the three proposals. The court's general policy is to hear from people who are opposed first, and that if, obviously, if there's no opposition, that may shorten the presentation of proponents because they're not rebutting anything. And with that, we will proceed. The first rule is entitled Proposed Adoptions to the Appendix of SDCL Chapter 16-17 of the State Bar of South Dakota Bylaws. It was proposed by the State Bar, and it deals with electronic communications, I guess. Is there anybody wishes to speak in opposition to the rule? There being none, is there anybody that wishes to speak for it?
Chief Justice, members of the court, I'm not going to waste the court's time just going over them, but I'm here to answer any questions that the court may have on anything regarding both the proposals before the court and the ramifications as it may extend out to our membership, including the judiciary.
Well, given the fact you're the only person in the room, maybe we can dispense with formality. All three proposals come from the State Bar, we'll probably take you up on your offer to explain and answer any questions and just throw the floor open to the court unless you have any introductory comments on the second and third proposals.
Well, Chief Justice, very quickly, the bylaws that proposed changes that are before the court today would not have been permitted under the South Dakota Code until the State Bar brought the amended version of the Nonprofit Corporate Act. And the legislature allowed these types of communications, electronic and so forth. And so we are now simply trying to take advantage of those options that the legislature has provided to us. Many nonprofits had already done this, but as you folks know, we first have to run it through our own membership and then bring it to the court. So it takes us longer to accomplish what it probably has become for most sophisticated nonprofits, the very standard practice.
Okay. Do you have any introductory comments on proposals 2 and 3?
Same thing, Your Honor. The fourth one
is 8.3.
8.3 is simply giving the status to Lawyers Concerned or Lawyers Assistance Committee, which works with our stressed and depressed lawyers, the court has already provided the exception to 8.3 mandatory report when they view or find out about violations of the rules of professional conduct, and we're simply extending or asking the court to extend the same type of confidentiality and protection to the lawyers who are working with stressed and depressed lawyers that we already provide for those who work with the chemical dependency issues.
Okay. I'll invite any questions from the bench on any of the three proposals since we have one witness.
So where do we find the, you just referred to what we've already provided for the chemical dependency, that exception, where is that?
It should be in 8.3.
Okay.
So the other changes to 16-19 to bring it, to make it consistent with the proposed changes to Rule 8.3. Can you provide the procedural history of prior notice on 16-19? So I'm trying to compare the prior proposed amendments to that title with the current version, and I'm trying to discern whether or not there's appropriate notice for the amendments to 16-19, because they're not exactly identical. And my question is there appropriate notice to the bar of the amendments to 16-19.
Thank you for the question, Justice Curran. I assume that historically we submitted, coming from the disciplinary board 2 years ago for this court's consideration, many changes, not so much substantive, but in verbiage, to 16-19. And the court received a letter from Tim Gephardt objecting to some of the terminology, and so the court held up on those. We then, Bob Freeberg and I, board counsel, sat down with Tim and several other people and made the minor amendments, and I would characterize them as minor amendments in verbiage, to which they signed off, and then that's what's before the court, I believe, in February. Am I right on that, Shirley? I think that's correct. So that's a long way of history to say, I believe that under your own rules, that because I see nothing substantive difference between what was published 2 years ago and what is before the court, I think that's adequate notice, because if you look at the difference between the two, at least I don't view it as anything substantive change, and the court always has the ability, after a rule's been heard, to make editorial changes. If the court wants republication, we can send an electronic notice to all the members saying this is revised, but my understanding is that everybody's in agreement, and we just made those subtle changes between what was published and what is before the court today. And I'll leave it to the discretion of the court on whether or not they want to republish that. That constituency was very, very sensitive to some of the language that we had that Mr. Freeberg and I and the disciplinary board were trying to incorporate into 16-19, and we referenced when it came to depression or other underlying mental illness, we referenced the code that deals with mental illness and the Human Services Center. Some of our members that worked in that area didn't like that and wanted some different language, and that essentially is what was the changes that were made between 2 years ago and now. And I understand that's kind of a broad brush, but that's the background and was the catalyst for those amendments between what's before the court now and what was 2 years ago.
Any other questions from the bench for Mr. Barnett?
Wouldn't it be prudent? I mean, we don't know who really has an interest in this. You've identified certainly some of the attorneys who do, but wouldn't it just be prudent to send a notice out so everybody knows what we're talking about, and then there's no question that of what we're dealing with?
We can certainly do, and if three of you this morning say, why don't you put that notice out again, we're happy to do that.
Well, with the changes that are in front of us, that would be fairly easy to do, wouldn't it?
It would be if the court approves the pending and makes it effective before whatever your cutoff date is, December 12th. Absolutely, we can put it out. I can tell you that entire community has reviewed what's before the court, and they are anxiously awaiting the adoption. And we've simply told them it's coming in February.
So if we approve proposal number one, that gives you the authority to electronically send these to every member you got on your website.
It does, Chief Justice.
Okay, I got you. Any other questions from the court?
Well, I think that's a good idea to give them the notice, but what they need to see is the package from 2 years ago and then the new revisions and be able to track the changes in the statutes. And right now, what we've got in front of us only gives us the most recent revisions and seemingly has adopted some or all of the original package, and you can't tell which. So if we do renotice it, it'd be helpful to see every change to 1619 that's been proposed in this whole process in track change form.
We can do that.
Perfect.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Barnett? If not, thank you. I hear you had a harrowing time getting here given the icy condition.
And I get to go back as soon as you let me go.
Well, it's melting out a little bit. So maybe you'll be luckier on your way home.
The roads are going to be way better than they were yesterday. They were dicey.
Okay, thank you for coming. We appreciate it, and we'll be in touch. The court is in recess.